From Summertime Monitor. I'm your host, Brad Crandall. Dean Brayless, NBC News, who's been reporting from Vietnam, is back home. And in just about 3 minutes, we'll be talking with him about the biggest news story of 1966, the war in Vietnam. Our first order of business, however, is music for everybody, but especially appealing for those of you who are just starting your vacations. This is The Life. Music under the direction of H.B. Barnum. Now, something else we associate with the good life.
Things go better with Coca-Cola. Things go better with Coca-Cola.
During the past weeks, acts of terrorism by the Viet Cong have increased, with attacks on a GI service club at Da Nang last night, the U.S. motor pool in Saigon earlier in the week. With us tonight is a veteran of covering the Vietnam War, Dean Brayless, who may be able to give us some background on this latest phase of the war there. Good evening, Dean, and welcome back.
It's very good to be back, Brad.
I imagine, yeah. What about these latest terrorist attacks? What seems to be the cause from your point of view, Dean?
Well, I think that basically what it comes down to, and this is supported by captured documents that the people have in Saigon, the Viet Cong, who have not been doing too well in their ground war, feel that they've got to step up the terror attacks. And, of course, this is very consistent with all guerrilla warfare. They're still in the guerrilla stage. They really haven't gone beyond that. But more immediately, from the Viet Cong communist point of view, if an election takes place in South Vietnam and a government is formed that is a cohesive, understandable government that represents the people, then you do have a solid base for an anti-communist war such as is taking place. It's no longer as a civil war. As
a government that the people and the villagers would accept as legitimate, in other words.
Yes, and the world would accept it much more as a legitimate government.
One thing, as we build up our forces in Vietnam, Dean, the North Vietnamese seem to be matching us by infiltrating more and more troops into South Vietnam. Now, where does this escalation end, and how many troops do you suppose we may have in Vietnam before we finally win a peace settlement favorable to us?
Well, no one knows how many troops we will have in South Vietnam before the escalation is over. To begin with, currently, we have 297,000 American troops in Vietnam, on the ground in Vietnam. The communists, that is, the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong communists who are integral to South Vietnam, have a total of 280,000, so we're pretty much equal. Now, There was a report, as you remember, last week, Brad, in which allegedly the commandant of the Marine Corps, General Green, said that we needed 750,000 men to fight the war for the next 5 years and win. Then General Green said he did not say this. The President of the United States says he doesn't know how many troops we're going to need to end the war. General Westmoreland says that we're going to need more troops. General Key, or rather Premier Key, who is in fact an air marshal, says that he feels that 750,000 Americans are going to be needed. Well, it's a guessing game. It's a matter of no one knows, but certainly we haven't stopped building up our force, and it will be considerably more than 297,000 men.
Isn't there a strong military presumption, too, that if you have sufficient odds in your favor numerically, that you cut down the probability of high casualties on your own side? In other words, massive force breeds lower casualty rates kind of a thing.
Well, that certainly is true in classic warfare. There's nothing about South Vietnam and its kind of fighting that is classic. However, the truth of the matter is that you are supposed to have a 10-to-1 ratio against guerrillas in order to win. Mm-hmm. And we don't have anything like a 10-to-1 ratio.
And that, incidentally, what about the South Vietnamese troops? What do they stand in terms of numbers?
Well, currently, in terms of the South Vietnamese army, the last figure that I remember is 275,000 South Vietnamese.
Which is still a long way short of the total number we need.
Right, and far short of what the Americans have. And with our allies, the Australians have 5,000, the South Koreans are building up to almost 50,000. So, in fact, the allies do have more regular troops in South Vietnam and South Vietnamese themselves.
Then there's no kind of even a good guess as to when the war will end.
No, I don't think there's any kind of a guess that would be valid right now.
One more question. What about the moral situation as related to our troops, Dean? Are they being, and how are they being affected, I should say, by such things as black marketeering, prostitution, narcotics addiction, all of which we hear of in wide scope, particularly in Saigon?
Let's begin with prostitution. In the history of warfare, wherever it's taken place, troops need women and want women. And indeed, our own troops, when they go off for their rest periods, officially called R&R, rest and recreation, they call it love and liquor, and that's what a man wants. There is very, very little narcotics addiction on the part of our troops, and very little, black marketeering. The black marketeering takes place from the civilian Americans who are present. And you certainly remember, Brad, this incident most recently, a group of civilians who work on a tugboat from Portland, Oregon, who've just been accused and of black marketeering.
Civilians in that area are subject to military discipline, aren't they, if they're hung up in anything like this?
It's open to question. South Vietnam, its courts, its administration at the present time can be bought.
I see.
If a man's made enough in the black market, he can get out of anything.
Dean, thank you very much. As I understand it, you're going to be the anchor man now on the Vietnam Review, which is every week on NBC television.
That's correct.
And you've got a full, a full one-hour show on the Vietnamese War coming up just 2 weeks from tonight on NBC TV.
That's right, and I think it'll be a very important show. It'll be about the military war.
All this plus doing the Vietnam report on the Today Show every day.
Indeed, that's true. It's almost like being in Vietnam.
I was going to say, you may want to go back and rest. You know, that's what
right.
I was thinking. Dean Brayless, thank you very much for coming by, and welcome home.
Thank you, Brad Crandall.
Brad Crandall here, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
You know, even though New York is one of the world's most exciting cities, there aren't many places where you can go dancing without spending a whole lot of money. With one exception. Roseland Dance City, 52nd Street, just west of Broadway. Yes, at sophisticated Roseland Dance City, the world's most famous ballroom cafe, you can dance the night away to the music of two great bands, enjoy delicious food and refreshments at the glamorous terrace restaurant, and still have plenty of money left over. And at Roseland, you're never crowded off the dance floor. You and your date have acres of space in which to practice your favorite dances, or try the sensational new pom-pom and other new dances. Air-conditioned Roseland Dance City offers continuous dancing nightly except Monday. And remember, there's a matinee today from 3:30 to closing. So next time you feel like dancing, feel like having a ball, come to Roseland Dance City, 52nd Street, just west of Broadway. All entries in 660's Take Us Where Yours contest must be received by Friday, August 26th. on WNBC, AM and FM, New York.
Hello, I'm Brad Crandall, and the show NBC's Monitor 66. It's Independence Day in Afghanistan, Admission Day in Hawaii, and as always, a special day here at Monitor. People like Kathy Keegan help make it that way. Kathy reports on The Way of Love.
When you meet a boy that you like a lot, and you fall in love, but he loves you not. If a flame should start as you hold him near, better keep your heart out of danger, dear. For the way of love is a way of woe, and the day may come when you'll see him go. Then what will you do when he sets you free? Just the way that you said goodbye to me.
It's 20 minutes and 20 seconds after the hour. A good time to entertain this thought.
In the old days, at Chalk's Flying Service, only Leonard, the freight manager, and Mrs. Franklin in the office smoked L&M's. Now Ned Ames has come over. When you've got today's best taste in smoking, people find out.
Come on over for the taste of it. Come on over to the L&M side.
When you've got today's best taste in smoking, people find out.
Shaves is the title of this tune. Dean Martin flows up to, into, and out of it.
These shades can't hide the tears I've cried, but not the way I feel inside. These shades can only do their part. Not the But these shades can't hide a broken heart. Dark shades I'll keep on wearing as long as I'm still caring for you, and I still love you so. Oh, why did you go now?
Season. Of course, if you suffer from hay fever, asthma, or some other allergy, you already know this. Not all allergy victims can be cured, but most can be helped. There's free information for you, if you'd like to have it, from the Allergy Foundation of America. Write to Asthma, Hay Fever, and Other Allergies, Box 1005, New York 10017, New York. And now, for all the latest from the world of sports, here's Mel Allen at the Monitor Sports Desk. Mel, who did what to whom?
Thank you very much, Brad, and here we go. We'll take a look at golf first. In the $100,000 Insurance City Open at Hartford, one-time Masters champ Art Wall fired a 68 to beat Wes Ellis Jr. by two strokes, had a 72-hole total of 266, 18 under par, which was a new tournament record. Wall also picked up a $20,000 first prize, and that was his biggest ever. Defending champion Billy Casper and George Archer tied for third with 269s. Julius Burrows had a 270. And amateur Jimmy Grant from the host club fired a 64 today, finishing with a 271. In baseball in the National League, Sandy Koufax became a 20-game winner again. He beat Ray Washburn for the Dodgers as Los Angeles beat St. Louis 4-1. But they remain three games back to be leading Pittsburgh, who beat Chicago 8-1 as Bob Veal pitched a two-header to beat Robin Roberts. Clemente and Gondor homering for the Pirates, Williams for the Cubs. Second place, San Francisco beat Atlanta 9-4. They're just one percentage point back of the Pirates. Bob Prittie, the winner. Clay Carroll, the loser. Jim Hart hit his 27th home of the year for the Giants. Houston shut out Cincinnati 11-0 as Dave Justy beat Joe Nuxhall. In the American League, Detroit defeated Baltimore 9-5. Earl Wilson got his 15th victory. Wally Bunker, the loser. Five Tiger homers. Al Kaline, Jim Northrup, Dick McAuliffe, Norm Cash, and Wilson himself. Frank Robinson hit his 38th for the Orioles, the Major League high. Chicago defeated Cleveland 3-2, Jack LeMabe over Steve Hargan. Boston took Minnesota 6-4, John Wyatt over Pete Cimino, and the New York Yankees beat Kansas City 7-3, besting Johnny Odom. Washington defeated California 7-4. In soccer, the opening game of the United States Cup of Champions tournament in New York, a three-team round robin. Santos of Brazil defeated Benfica of Portugal 4-0. A great pitching career may be near the end of the line with today's announcement that Whitey Ford will go to Houston to see Dr. Denton Cooley, who operated on the 37-year-old southpaw shoulder in October 1964. The Yankees placed Ford on the disabled list for the second time this season. And now, looking ahead, tomorrow, the World Amateur Baseball Tournament in Honolulu and the 67th Grand American Trap Shooting Championships in Vandalia, Ohio. Tuesday, Little League Baseball World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Wednesday, Curtis Cokes and Manuel Gonzalez meet in New Orleans for the World Boxing Association's Welterweight Championship. Pony League World Series in Ralston, Nebraska. In Chicago, the Major Leagues hold their free agent draft for American Legion players. Thursday, the $110,000 Philadelphia Golf Classic. Friday, the Ladies Glass City Golf Classic at Toledo, Ohio. Saturday, the $75,000 Hopeful Stakes at Saratoga. That's what is and will be in sports, Brad. Mel Allen here reminding you that for more features and news from the world of sports, stay tuned to Monitor. Thank you.
Summer Samba, Walter Wanderley conducting the group therapy. Monitor is nationwide. If you're hearing us in San Antonio, Texas, you're tuned to WOAI. Wherever you are, we're happy you joined us. My name's Brad Crandall.
Driving tonight? Take Monitor with you on the NBC Radio Network.